Welcome to the Crazy Ike Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Teddy. No matter where you are, thanks for making this part of your day. Thanks for taking a listen. Follow me across social media at Crazy Ike Fan on Instagram and on X, Crazy Ike Fan Facebook page. What's up, Ike? To this, hope everyone's having a good week. We're a little over, actually under 24 hours now before the massive derby starts between Pauk and Ike in Tumba, Thessaloniki. Of course, that's going to be the meat of our podcast today, previewing that match, as well as talking about the match from last week. Ike beat Asteras Tripolis 4-2 in Philadelphia. And touching on some other news and notes here with our favorite club, Ike. So let's get right to it. First and foremost, I like to start off with, as I did last year around this time of year, a very somber date just passed for Greek football in the anniversary of a Greek tragedy that happened, the Gate 7 tragedy, memory eternal to those victims that passed away. It's been 43 years. There's moments in time where, especially if you're older like I am, that certain things that stick out in your memory, you know, a time that I remember specifically, just because nothing else comes to mind right now, is I remember exactly where I was on 9/11. And not to say that I'm comparing either tragedies, but if you talk to people that either lived in Greece or were alive at the time when this tragedy happened, of course I wasn't. I was born in 1982. I was born the year after. They'll tell you that is a time in their lives and a time in history that is well remembered by all fans. I mean, even my mother used to talk about watching the scenes on TV and being in complete disbelief and how it kind of changed Greek culture. And she doesn't even follow football. She never followed football or sports her entire life. So, again, memory eternal to the victims. Athanati. Maybe one day there will be justice with the way the Greek government is. Probably never going to be seen. You know, it's a sad occasion because it's something that people do in their everyday lives that these people didn't come back from. You know, they were going to a football match and 21 souls never came back home. 21, most of them were fairly young, never came back home to their families. Not much more really to say. If you want a more in-depth, I know last year I went a little more in depth in talking about the Gate 7 tragedy. You can listen to my podcast last year, probably around this time of year. You can look it up. I think it's probably still available. But as always, it's kind of hard to try to move on from these things. When we talk, when I open the podcast with conversations like this. So let's do our best to move on and talk about other news in Ike right now. At Ike. So Amrabat seems he practiced a little bit, I think, yesterday, but most likely he will not play in the derby against Pauk. Hadzi Safi is back in Greece and practiced with the team, so he will be available. Now, as of right now, I mean, it's afternoon here, and I know the squad list is bound to come out at some point. Still has not come out, so I don't know who is on the squad list. It wouldn't surprise me if Hadzi Safi is on it. But he's back in Greece and after the Asian Cup. And also coming out of news, it is said that it has been kind of confirmed, you know, how murky these things can be in the Greek media, that Brignoli is set to sign with Ike in the summer as soon as he's officially a free agent. Brignoli, the ex-Panathinaikos goalkeeper who could not come to terms with the Greens, is now set for a move on the other side of Athens to come play for Ike. This has been long rumored. I think I may have touched on it briefly during the podcast, but now it seems to be coming out. If you listen to Greek media, you'd be able to tell, like, both Panathinaikos reporters and Ike reporters have kind of been beating around the bush with this whole situation, if I may. And now it's finally coming to fruition that Brignoli has expressed a desire or has reached a verbal agreement to sign with Ike in the summertime. But we'll see what happens. I think it would be a great pickup for Ike, considering the form that Anastasiadis has been in this year. And Stankovic, even though he's been in good form, it'd be nice to have another keeper to really, they could really push each other to have two quality keepers like that. Especially if you're looking at right now the way things are going for Ike, regardless on whether we win the championship or not, we're going to make European football. When you have all three competitions again next year, we know Almeida came out and talked a couple of weeks ago about how he wants to approach things differently going into next season as far as the squad for having all being in all three competitions. So let's move on from the news and notes and let's talk a little bit about Ike Tripoli. Ike get the win 4-2. They opened the scoring. Now, I don't remember. I looked on a certain app that I use to look at when the goals were scored. I think the first goal was an own goal. And the reason why I'm saying it like this, because on my phone, it was showing that the first two goals were scored by Ponce. Now, I know there was some discussion during the match where they didn't know whether it was going to count as an own goal or whether it was going to go. I don't know if it finally ended up falling under Ponce's count or if it was an own goal. Anyway, during the match, it was called an own goal, and I think that happened first. 2 minutes later, Ponce scored again. And another goal for Ponce, who has been on a tear. Both of Ike's center forwards have been on fire. They can't seem to stop scoring, which is the exact opposite of what it was just a few weeks ago or like a month ago. And let me briefly segue or make a little side note here towards Ponce. It's very riveting to see how this player has come out and has played so well, especially after the debacle that was that Addis Cup match where Ike were ousted out of the cup by Addis, especially in that match where he had two or three good, clear-cut, center-forward type of opportunities to really put the ball away and then and would have eventually won the match for Ike. He was under a lot of scrutiny, but this goes to show you in any facet of life, whether that's business, sports, however you're playing, you really learn about what somebody is made of, how you handle pressure, how you handle criticism, how you handle when things are tough, really says something about yourself and your character. And this kid has played through. Now, there were reports coming out of the Ike camp and Ike reporters that were talking about that this kid was given every opportunity to succeed. He was working very, very hard at practice. And that just goes to show you that, not to be all cliche, but practice makes perfect. I don't know what it is and how he's been able to turn it on. You know, there's this thing that's going to go probably into, if I end up winning the league this year, it's probably going to go into the lore of this particular season that he had a discussion with Almeida. And after that, he's been on a tear. So I'm sure, you know, I don't know if that had something to do with it, but I think it's just, when you're consistent in something, you can finally find a breakthrough. That's something in life that I feel like is very underrated. Consistency is very underrated. When you're consistent in something, you get better and better at that, at what you're trying to achieve. And like I said before, it really shows your character. When the chips are down, how well can you maneuver yourself back to the top? And this kid has proven myself and everyone else wrong, because I think everyone in the Ike world kind of had this kid down and out, had him at, you know, I called it a bust. I called it, maybe I should just sit here and just trash talk Ike players the entire time. I feel like every time I say something bad about someone, they suddenly start doing good. So hopefully, you know, maybe I should start trash-talking players more. I don't know. Maybe I was the jinx. But very, very well played. Ike were up 3-0, and then Estetis were able to pull a goal back before halftime. And then the fortunate event for Mitoglou, who was caught with a handball in the box and a penalty. Was able to put the ball away for Estetis. And Estetis was able to cut into Ike's lead at 3-1. So it was 3-1 at halftime, and the poor guy, Zlavic, I think was his name, for Estetis, he scored 2 own goals, and almost had a hat trick of own goals, which would have been something insane to see. You felt bad for the guy. Me and one of my buddies that was watching the game, we said, you know, now it's going to come out that they're going to go in and investigate this guy, to investigate this poor guy's, like, you know, whole paycheck to make sure, like, there wasn't any money laundered to him from Milisanidi. I'm sure that's going to become a rumor at some point. It was just a very unfortunate event for the, for this player. The team kind of let the let off the gas pedal for a few minutes. I'd say between probably the 55th to like 70th minute. Then Levy Garcia comes onto the pitch for Ponce. And Levy Garcia, he literally, if he was on target, could have had a hat trick in 5 minutes. Within 5 minutes, he had three perfect opportunities to score. One that he was finally able to put away, an assist by Mandalos. Mandalos, who played tremendously well in this match, who has been playing better. It has been a very key player over these last few matches for Ike. And then came the big moment, I think around the 75th, 76th minute, where Robert Ljubičić made his debut for Ike. You know, you could see the quality of the player just in the few minutes that he played. Of course, he didn't play that long, and he hasn't been with the squad that long. So he still needs to get acclimated with the team and in the style, that high-pressing style, that high-intensity style that Almeida likes to play. It's just going to take time. Really nothing much else to add to this match. You know, Asteras got a goal in garbage time, basically, after the 90th minute. Ljubičić, like I said, looked very good, just needs more time with the club. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week in the podcast, but one big thing to look at is how happy this guy looked. Of course, you know, on signing day, when people sign for a new club, they're always going to be happy. But this guy looked like he had something. He had like a glimmer in his eye. Like he had a, like there was such joy for him to be here at Ike and to be playing for this club. He talked about it briefly after the match. I listened to the post-match interview where he talked about how it was disappointing that his debut had to be in front of an empty stadium, which was a little different. You know, the reporter that was interviewing him also asked him, you know, how do you feel about playing in front of fans? And he said he can't wait. You know, he played in front of that crowd back when he played for Dinamo Zagreb over the summertime, and can't wait till the stadium start filling up again. Just an all-around, just a very professional performance by Ike, a game that they needed to win before this derby coming up this weekend. So before I talk about the derby, let me, you know, with talking about Ljubičić, let me segue into something. It is really great, and I wanted to touch on this last week, and I totally forgot to touch on it. It is really great that in the Greek Super League now, we're seeing good signings. We're seeing teams improve. Now, I know our friends that are Olympiacos fans would probably say, what improvement are you talking about, dude? We're looking terrible this year. Yeah, true, but Olympiacos always brings in good players, good talent. It's nice to see the other clubs open up the checkbook a little bit, making the league more competitive, making their teams better. It's nice to see that, you know, I know Bakasetas playing for the wrong side of Athens. He's over at Panathinaikos, but in the grand scheme of things, it's also nice to see, like, the Greece's captain is playing in Greece. And just the talent that is coming into the Super League. I mean, look at Ike alone have made three of their biggest transfers this season. It's nice to see, and I think it's really going to pay off in the future in European competitions and in making this league a little bit better on the pitch. Now, off the pitch, we could say a lot of things, but let me not go down that rabbit hole. I'm just saying how nice it is to see great players, quality again coming into this league, not to the level of what we used to see back in the day, but we're slowly getting there. And to see all the quote-unquote big teams and all the teams to kind of improve a little bit, I think, under my opinion, it's been nice to see. All right, so now let's get to the main event, the topic of discussion here. Pauk, welcome Ike, and what is the derby of not just the match day this week, but also right now, even though we're going to see a lot more matches of the season, this match right now is the match of the season. Bauk, Aik, the two most informed teams in Greek football. Very exciting to see what they can do against each other. Because honestly, I mean, we saw Bauk beat Panathinaikos a couple weeks ago, but what can they do against each other? Let's look at it as a whole first, and then look at it from the perspective of both teams and both managers. First and foremost, I do have to S-talk Greek football a little bit here. You're having your match of the season, and you're having to bring in a referee from Azerbaijan to officiate this match. Let me say that again. Let me say that a little more clearly. You're having your match of the season in the Greek Super League, and you're having to bring in referees from Azerbaijan. I know I'm probably butchering that, and I'm sorry. To referee your biggest match of the season so far. Again, there's going to be other matches, big matches going forward for all of the contending clubs. But right now, this is the big match. A little bit different about this match. I just needed to get that off my chest. A little bit different about this match from what would be a normal. If this was a normal, you know, two-round championship as we're used to in Europe, if the playoffs were not involved, holy moly, this would be massive. This would be big. This would be for all the marbles. This would be for the championship, honestly. This would be marked down as the championship match. Kind of like it was a few years ago in 17-18 when these two teams met. But because there are playoffs, even if Aik lose and Bauk win, Bauk move 5 points ahead of Aik, and I forget how many points they're ahead of Panathinaikos. I think if you were to compare this to like an auto race, Bauk would be like a car length ahead of everyone else. But that's about it. I would not even say a car length, a half a car length, because you have so many derbies coming up. Bauk next week has to also play Olympiakos and Dumba, and then the playoffs are going to start, where every team is going to play each other twice in the playoffs. So there's still plenty of time for the other teams to make up ground, so nothing is lost yet. On the flip side, if it was a regular rotation and the way Bauk is like crushing all these quote-unquote smaller opponents, then I would say, yes, if Bauk was to win, they would be like a half a lap ahead of everyone else getting ready to win this title race. But not all is lost. I just, you know, I'm going to be, I myself, just like you guys listen to this podcast, if you're an Aik fan, I'm going to be disappointed if we lose on Sunday, but it's not the end of the world. And then how does this play on with the psychology moving forward? Who is this a bigger game for? Is it a bigger game for Aik, or is it a bigger game for Bauk? Aik are finding their form. They're gaining momentum. Both of their strikers are on fire. Gaining momentum and finding really good form right now at the right time. Just like they did last year. They found really good form right before the playoffs were getting ready to start. And then the Super League playoffs. Bauk, on the other hand, have only one victory in the last five games against Aik. Have been borderline embarrassed by Aik. Not as far as the scoreline is concerned, but the style of play. If you guys remember the last time these two teams met, Aik won hands down 2-0 with Bauk not even having a shot on target or a shot on goal till like the 90-something minute. You know, Aik won hands down, and it nearly almost, if Bauk, honestly, for me, did not have this European run, Luchescu's job might have been in jeopardy. Now, I keep giving the guy 9 lives over here because he just signed a contract extension with Bauk. And listen, I'm old enough to where I most of the time, not all times, don't let emotions get the best of me. But sometimes it happens, especially with sports and especially with certain figures in sports. He is one of those guys that rubs me the wrong way. I've never hid that on this podcast. Everyone but Bauk fans, he rubs the wrong way with what he says, his antics. He's kind of like a Romanian. He was a Romanian Mourinho wannabe, kind of. And, you know, if you think back to when you were younger, I heard this analogy a long time ago, and I really liked it, and I'm just going to copycat it. Long time ago, and for me, this was a very long time ago, when you were in the dating scene, right? You never wanted to date the girl that was a 6.5 to 7 and thought she was a 15 out of 10, that thought she was like, you know, God's gift to men. You always wanted to date a girl that was humble, and same vice versa can go for guys too. But, you know, you never, Lucescu is that girl in my opinion. Lucescu is a 7 or 8 and thinks he's a freaking 20 out of 10. I think he's full of himself sometimes. But you can't argue with the guy's body of work. He's done tremendous work at Valk. In the last season and in previous few seasons, I feel like he leaned too much on some of these older players for Valk and leaned on, you know, like the Crespos, the Verinha, too heavily. But he seems to have brought up kids from the academy. Obviously, we've seen that with Costandeñas. What's that other player? Kouliarakis, isn't that one of the other guy's name? We've seen players like that, talents that he's been able to integrate into this. And I really think the other Super League teams can learn something from Bauk by playing these. Now, he was given the time to do this, which is a whole other topic of discussion. But anyway, but you have to give him more credit where credit's due. But he has had bad luck against Almeida. What's going to win out here? Because I really do think the underlying story here is, psychologically, what are both teams going to gain or lose after this match? If Ike lose, I think Ike and the Salmeida Ike are just going to look at it as, okay, we're lost. We've lost some ground. Let's pick it back up. We have 4 winnable games till the playoffs. Let's win and go headstrong into the playoffs. That's the way Ike's going to look at it. If Bauk lose, I think that starts to mess with you psychologically a little bit, where it's like, we cannot beat Ike. What are we going to do when we go to the playoffs and we have to play them 2 more times? We cannot beat this team. I think the way both teams are playing, either team could win. I would definitely bet if I was a betting man, I would bet Gogol. I'm not telling you to bet. Please bet responsibly if you gamble. I would bet Gogol in this game because I think both defenses can be leaky at times. I see a lot of goals going in. I see Pauk. They're one of the best teams at scoring per opportunity. Ike create opportunities. I mean, for God's sakes, Ike had 23 shots last week and 7 on target. On the flip side, Pauk, when they played a very defensive-minded Atromitos, I mean, Atromito parked the bus. They're from Piristeri, but they parked the bus all the way in Marousi, basically, from the stadium. That's how far back Atromito had parked the bus. I mean, they did not even have a shot on target the entire game. I watched some of that game just so I could get a feel of what Pauk is able to do. Pauk can kill you on the counters. So I really need to watch that. I think this is going to be a heavyweight fight, and it's going to be whoever lands the biggest punch last. I could really see this being a game where it's definitely goal-goal. So if it's a tie, I feel like it would be 1-1 or 2-2. Given everything on the line for this, given the fact that Almeida really does not like to draw, really wants to win and wants to win these matches, both teams have depth in the bench. So I think I have a little more depth, I feel like, in midfield, which is going to be key. If you got, you know, if he starts Jonsson, you can bring in Lubitsch then off the bench. You can bring in Mandalo off the bench if he doesn't start Mandalo, and play up a little bit and keep Pineda and Lubitsch back for defense, and or vice versa. So it's going to be very interesting. It's also going to be very interesting. What do you go with if you're Almeida? Do you go with Ponce or do you go with Garcia? Both are very hot right now. What do you do? They're both in such good form. Now, I have heard things that are saying Garcia is most likely going to be the starter. I personally, and like I've said before, Almeida knows more about football than I've ever, has forgotten more about football than I will ever imagine to know in my life. I would stick with what has been working lately, is keep Ponce in the starting lineup and then bring Garcia off the bench, especially when that defense and those backs of Pauk that like to press, that like to push up, that like to build up from the back, as they get tired, Garcia could definitely get in behind the defense. I mean, we remember last year, it took Igason giving him an American football tackle, and we don't even know why that wasn't even a yellow card, to bring Garcia down. And to have that type of player like Garcia who can get in behind the defense, who has gotten very, very good at riding that fine line between on and off sides, could be very key, especially against the tired legs of defenders late on in the match. That's how I would play it. Now, some managers think of it as I'm going to put my best 11 players out there and whatever happens, happens. But I don't know. It's this match, the more I talk about it, the more I think about it while I was coming up with a script for this podcast, the more and more I thought about it, the more and more excited I am to watch this match. It's going to be a very riveting match. It's going to be very intense, very aggressive. Amanabat's going to be a big miss for Ike. Even though offensively he kind of sometimes delays the ball being pushed up, it's going to be a match where you really could have used Amanabat's strength to really get in there and do the nitty gritty work against this Pauk defense and to be able to hold the ball at times when you need it to be held, and also to track back on defense. Not to say that Eliasson can't do that, but Eliasson can do other things better. Eliasson has better sprint, has better, I think, technical ability than Amanabat, younger legs. But we'll see. You know, we've also seen Pablo Fernandez playing on that side too, so you have him coming off the bench. Both teams have such deep benches that this is going to be take the emotion out of it. Like, I know the whole history, the recent history between Ike and Pauk, and Ike Luchescu versus Ike has been very, I mean, even the other day when he signed his contract on social media, when Pauk announced that they re-signed him, you know, they're like, oh, we re-signed the guy that gave us two back-to-back doubles. You know, they took another shot at Ike for the 2017-2018 season. Just get over it, dude. Okay, it happened. Get over yourselves. Besides that, I mean, if you talk about as a football match to see it, it's going to be, I hate to use another American cliche, but it's going to be must-see TV. Very interesting. So we'll see what happens. We'll see who ends up winning out. This chess match between Almeida and Luchescu, and what happens in this match. Very, very interesting. I think it's going to have a very interesting finish to the season. I don't think it has any bearing on who wins the title. I think whoever wins gets a little bit of a leg up, a little bit. You know, Ike, I think, would get a more psychological advantage going against Pauk. Because this is the same as it was, you know, the reverse. If you look at the reverse, before last season, Pauk always had Ike's number. Even when Pauk played terrible, they were always able to beat Ike. It had become kind of like a psychological thing. Now, I know that's kind of harsh to say in Greek terms, unless it's in psychologico y psychiatrico, but it was something that... But there's something there to that. There's something there psychologically. You know, players might not come out and talk about it, but it is there. Anyway, guys, let's see what's going to happen. Quick podcast today. Just wanted to get my feelings out there. I wanted to record earlier in the week, but was not able. Anyway, if you like the content, please subscribe. Rate the podcast wherever you can. I appreciate each and every one of you. The podcast is growing and I look forward to growing even more. Leave a review wherever you can. Kalitihistinaik, Forza Aikara, and I'll talk to you guys next week.